Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Scienpology. I know it sounds like there is a truck in my apartment, possibly. Maybe it only sounds that way to me because I have these headphones on and I'm really intensely listening to this to monitor audio, but it's outside. I don't have trucks in my apartment and I'm not doing this outside. This microphone's just very sensitive, and that's a good thing. But it's so sensitive, I have to take these headphones off so that I can no longer hear that. All right, guys, episode 53 of Scienpology. We missed a week. We missed Wednesday last week. I know that. I apologize. I feel like shit about it. Excuse me. But it was unavoidable. I was gearing up for my third performance of my show, Elsa, that I put on here at Offside Tavern in New York City, in the back there, and it went great. It was a lot. It was recorded. I was very happy about that. It was filmed. My friends Chad and Sarah helped me out with that, and they did a fantastic job. Got a great two-camera angle recording of the show. Fantastic thing, and very happy with that. I was going to do the podcast, but I ran out of time, and then also, the hell is that? Fucking dandelion seed in my apartment? What is going on? My computer crashed. My desktop computer crashed. It just went to sleep and never woke up again. I guess that's best to die in your sleep, but it was terribly inconvenient for me, so now I'm using my laptop, and we'll see if this crashes, although in between now and then I have completely done a factory reset on my computer, backed it up on a hard drive, and then started it over, so it should have plenty of room on it. And I try to be very diligent about not saving things to my laptop or to the hard drive on the computer. I try to save them to external things and whatnot, but these things are all built to explode. That's the thing, you know. That's what's so shitty about getting dependent on technology and all the things that we use. It will fucking fail. And that's the unfortunate truth of it. And all you got to know to, all you have to see to know that that is the truth is go into anybody's, like if you know an editor, if you know any editors, like film editors, or people who even dabble around with it seriously, and look at how many external hard drives they have. Like my buddy Mike, who makes amazing films, he's a great director. He has like 6 of those big G drives all stacked up on top of each other. And you look at it, and it's like each one is multiple terabytes. And you're like, what are you doing? He's like, those are all just mirror images of each one. Because it's about redundancy. You have to have that much built-in redundancy because these things fucking fall apart on you. And they fall apart on you right when you need them. That's the way it works. It's like, it's like Murphy's Law put into some kind of, like, booby trap form. Like, it's gonna get you. It will get you. So you really have to be very redundant with these things in order to protect yourself against them, because they're always looking. It's like trying to find a way to attack you in this strange way. So right when I needed my computer to not fuck up, it did. And I just kind of packed it up. I didn't get really upset about it. I treated it like it was just, well, this is one of those things that happens in life. So I just wrapped it up in its own cords and put it aside. It's like, I will deal with you later. See if I can figure out some way to salvage it. I mean, I do use the time machine backup thing, but again, I've only got one hard drive. I'm going to have to get another one, because that son of a bitch is bound to fail now that it contains all of the brains of my old computer. Its likelihood for self-destruction has exponentially increased, just because it's like the last lifeline. I heard a thing one time, a military term that was about redundancy, about like being safe, about having backups. It was that 2 is 1 and 1 is none. And it's just an expression of being like, if you have 1, you have 0. If you have 2, you have 1. And that has resonated with me in such a great way that I hear it in my head when I think about things like this. It's just, it's so important to have a plan and a backup plan and another plan. So, yeah, that actually brings me to this journey that I'm going on with this one-person show that I'm doing. The one-person show that I'm doing is called Elsa. It's the thing that I'm going to be taking to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this summer in Scotland. And it's my one-person show. It's done. It's just a long story. It's done in the style of stand-up, but has a lot of somber elements to it. I'm trying to make it as funny as I possibly can, but more like meaningful and heartfelt and strong and just like a captivating story throughout is the thing that I'm working on. And it genuinely like rips at my heart. When I do it, it takes an emotional toll on me. I did it, and in the build up to it, it fucked me up. Doing it fucked me up. The aftermath fucks me up. It feels like I got like I have to relive all these moments in my mind, and then do them on stage and share them with people. And it's really a very genuine thing for me. It's the most real thing I've ever put on stage, and I'm very happy with it, but it does take a toll. And because I had to focus so much on that, I had to skip a week of doing this, and I feel like shit about it, and I hate to miss one. I planned on picking it up the next day, and then the next day, and then it got all the way to Wednesday, and it's like, well, fuck it, it's Wednesday, let's just keep on moving. And that's a big part of doing things like this that I have emphasized on this podcast and try to tell people as much as I try to tell myself. Just because you miss a day, just because you fuck up, doesn't mean you stop. You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you keep on going. You know, it's like these crazy push-ups I do. I do a psycho amount of push-ups every day and pull-ups and crunches, and I've been doing them for now, shit, a long time. So let's say I think I've missed 3 days in around 305 days approximately, but that's just in a row. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I give myself these strange, what do you call it, built-in disciplinary actions for my, if I fuck up, right? So what I mean to say is, if you fuck up, if you miss a day, if you, you know, miss a week of doing the podcast that you promised to put out every week, for instance, you shouldn't dwell on that. You shouldn't beat yourself up about it. You shouldn't be overly critical, but there should be some kind of disciplinary action that you impose on yourself if you know that you are prone to fucking up, right? So I don't have one built in for the podcast right now because I've been pretty good about it, and I feel like I'm confident about hitting my goals, and I enjoy doing this, so it's not really something that I have to drag myself to do, right? But I do have to drag myself to the ground to do push-ups every day, and the amount that I do. I mean, I do 500 push-ups a day. On average. Sometimes I don't have enough time, so I try to do about half, but my thing is I try not to do less than I did the day before, and then I work myself up to doing 500 again. I do 100 pull-ups. I do 1,000 crunches. I do some stuff with kettlebells. A kettlebell. I have one. And my unacceptable point, the one thing that I will not allow myself to not do, I won't allow myself to skip a day. That's my thing. I can hit under the mark. I don't necessarily have to get that 500 every day, or 1,000 or 100. I don't have to hit that necessarily, but I do have to do something. And if I don't do anything, then I have to shave my beard off, or shave it into some kind of ridiculous configuration. So like I have to have a mustache for a few days. I've done this before. It's something I don't like. And so, yeah. So if you have some kind of a thing that you try to do all the time, and you don't want to do it and it's hard for you to do, you should have something like that built in. Nothing crazy like you're going to fucking cut yourself or anything stupid like that. But give yourself something that will annoy you, you know, as like a, it's like, well, if you don't do this, you're going to have to, you know, I don't know. What is it you don't like to do? Maybe you don't like to wear flip-flops in public. That's something I don't like to do. Maybe if you do that, you gotta go do that shit. You gotta walk around in sandals for a while. I had this idea one time that for minor first offense violent crimes, like bar fights or something like that, vandalism even, but it has to be higher than vandalism. I think it has to be like at the level of violence, because that's where this bracket of punishment comes into. But I feel like there's room to punish people by sentencing them to have to wear rollerblades for a whole year. Like if you assaulted somebody, right? Like say you sucker punch some guy in a bar or whatever, even like first case, like domestic violence or something like that. I think it has to be violent, because this is something that it's more of a harsh punishment than it sounds like. You can't take these rollerblades off. It's like, I mean, you could shower, but then you got to put them right back on all for a year. And I feel like that would be pretty sufficient punishment and funny for people. Like, it would also serve the added bonus of being entertaining for other people. And I think that's useful. We should try to find ways to blend it together. You know, people learning a lesson and other people enjoying that person learning a lesson. Where the hell was I going with this? Oh, anyway. So yeah, I missed Wednesday last week, but it was a very active week for me. So I not only was gearing up for my show, and I did the show and it went well, but then I was picking up a lot of bar work, because I'm raising money for this show, and I'm raising $8,000 is the goal. I have my GoFundMe going, and that reminds me I need to list off the new people who have donated and say thank you to them. I don't think I'll be able to do that today. It's really strange how time just slips right by, you know? It's like, I got up, I started writing emails, I started doing my exercises, I ate a little bit, I caught up on my to-dos, what I have to do. I still have to do several other things. I got to catch up on my journaling. I'm a couple of days behind on that. And there's just never quite enough time. And then I'm going to have to walk out the door and go bartend here in about 20 minutes. So I'm just trying to get this in, because I owe you guys this. I say I'm going to do it, and I know you listen, and I really appreciate that, and I don't want to let you down. So this is part of it. And thank you for listening to Scientology. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that this is helping you pass whatever time you're trying to pass. What is it you're doing today? Sitting at your desk? You're driving somewhere? Dealing with whatever monotony there might be in the day. Listening to my voice. Somebody told me the other day that my voice sounds like... who did they say it sounds like? Keanu Reeves. And I had never heard that before. I don't really know what Keanu Reeves sounds like. But... I don't know what to... Is that a compliment? I don't know. You know the remake? They're doing a fourth Matrix? What the hell is that gonna... Hope it's good. I wasn't super disappointed with the Matrix films. Everybody had a beef with them, but I thought they were fine. I think they got a little too dance party-ish at times, but all in all, I thought it was a good series. Got into deep stuff and all that, but it was good, all in all. I mean, what are your complaints with the Matrix? You think you could make a better movie than that? I doubt you could. I doubt it. Maybe you could. Let's see. Put it together. That's your challenge. What else? A lot of things have happened that I need to talk to you guys about, but my brain is kind of scattered right now. I have a show booked for Los Angeles next month to do my one-person show, Elsa, out there. I'm doing it at the Lyric Hyperion. on March 13th. That's a Friday in LA. And that's going to be at 7 p.m. So I'm going to start doing promotion and publicity for that. And if you're in California or you listen to the podcast and you want to support that, please do spread the word, because I could really use all the help that I can get trying to get people out in a city that I don't live in. And the show is really at a place where I'm very happy with it. I'm going to be bringing my multimedia elements to it this time, I believe. I'm trying to bring my animations into it, my drawings. That's a big part of it. Let's see what else. Moving towards Edinburgh, moving towards Scotland. There's a lot of wheels in motion trying to get me there. There's a lot of things happening, and I'm trying to learn about it as I go. I don't fucking know shit about that stuff, so I'm talking to a lot of people who do, and I'm trying to not get ripped off or lose a bunch of money, because it's so expensive to go do this. It's going to cost around $7,000, like, in total to make this whole thing happen. And so people have been extremely generous in, like, helping me out with this. I've raised around $3,000, which is amazing. And, man, at my show that I just did at Offside Tavern on 14th Street, that raised me about $460. That money I've since used to rent the space in LA, and I'm also going to be able to use that money to get me a ticket. So that basically paid for the next show, and that's where all this is, like, feeding back into it. Right, it's all going right back in to see if I can just pay for everything and maybe at some point make a profit off of this, or at least not lose money is the big goal, you know, which is hard enough. And I'm just trying to keep that money completely insulated from the other lack of money that I have. It's so strange. January is a shitty month to be bartending and working in the service industry. It's just a real rough, lean time. So now it's just kind of getting back to hopefully making a couple extra bucks. But that's why I had to pick up all those shifts, because I'm just like, dude, I can't touch this money that people have helped me out with for the show to try to get to Scotland. That's its own thing, so I can't touch that at all. So I'm just like coasting on fumes, looking at this other bit, and I'm like, I can't even look at that. That's not even... That doesn't exist. So I'm trying to keep that like square, and every little bit of that money that I spend, I account for. Like I said, I rented the theater in LA. That cost like $300. I'm going to get a flight to and from Los Angeles back to New York. The flights aren't too super crazy right now. They're looking around like, you know, $200. This is all riveting podcast shit. Money management. That's why you tune in, to listen to me fucking count up all this shit in my head. Speaking of counting up all this shit in my head, I was doing very simple math on the amount of push-ups that I've done in the past year-ish time. And if I've done 20%, if I've done 500 push-ups a day, 20% of that time, that means I've done over 30,000 push-ups. And that's a really crazy thing to think. That's crazy, right? Because sometimes you say things and you don't, like, they don't feel crazy, but that feels and sounds crazy. So I'll just keep going. I want to see how many I can do. It's also a very good lesson in how hard it is to lose all of your titty fat, because I've still got fucking fat on my chest that I'm not happy about. You know what it is? It's from drinking. That's what it is. I drink too much. I don't drink, like, to excess too much, but I just have too many drinks in general. Like, kind of, I'll just have a beer. No big deal. A little glass of tequila or whatever. And that shit all adds up. I don't eat much. I'm as light as I've ever been, but boy, I do put on weight quick. Isn't that annoying? Like, you don't really have much control at the end of the day of, like, your body chemistry and, like, how it works. Like, I think you can kind of toy around with diets and find one that's more agreeable to you. Like, I definitely know that if I really cut out all carbohydrates, like, all starches breads, grains, things like that, and dairy, I just shed weight. But where's the fucking fun in that, man? All I want to do is eat pizza all day. If I could just have one food, I think it would just be pizza. Cheese and bread. Tomato sauce. I don't even give a shit about the tomato sauce. I just want to eat cheese and bread. A little bit of good olive oil. You dip that in. Fucking salt and pepper. Fuck you. Fuck you, bread. Oh, boy. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I hope you're not too pissed at me for missing a week. I really want to be there for you. I hope you appreciate or enjoyed the crossover episode last time, too, with my buddy Jesse. I meant to give him a shout-out for that. That was nice of him to have me on his podcast, and I hope that was enjoyable to you guys. I didn't check the email folder today to see if I have any emails from you guys, but please do send emails to me, questions, comments, or thoughts about the show, or even if you want to just haul off and bitch at me for a long time. Pretend I'm somebody you're mad at. And just replace me with them, you know? Maybe you are super angry at your boyfriend or your wife or whatever. Just use me as an example to try to be brave, right? That reminds me, I remember talking to this girl at a comedy bar place out in Long Island City. It's called The Creek in the Cave, which is a real shithole. And decent Mexican food, but one of the worst places to perform I've ever been at. It gets the strangest positive reputation that it does not deserve. It's good for open mics. They got some fun open mics there. But there's a theater upstairs, and it is like performing in a theater that was built on top of an ancient comedian burial ground. It's got the worst energy of any place I've ever performed at. I can't stand working there. Anyway, enough bitching about that place. I was talking to this girl at the bar there one time. Just really light banter. Nothing serious. Was just saying something along the lines of like, you know, I don't know, this is a decent beer or something like that. And she like bumped into me in a weird way on accident just by like turning in her chair and like bumped into me. And I have this instinct where I'm just like, oh, excuse me, you know, even though you hit me, I don't know where that comes from. I just trying to not have problems or whatever in my life. And she didn't say anything. And then she looked at me and she goes, I hope it doesn't upset you, but I'm trying to apologize to people less. And I was like, okay. I mean, I said I was sorry to you, and you bumped into me, but that's nice that I'm the kind of person that people practice their bravery on. I think that was a funny thing to notice about myself. It's like, I don't seem threatening enough for you to be on your guard in that way. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that means I'm a nice person, but it also might just mean that you think you're, I don't know. Whatever the fuck that means. It just struck me as odd. They're like, okay, yeah. Fuck you, then? I don't know. It's like, you did bump into me. You could just say, pardon me. You don't have to say, I'm so sorry. You don't have to fucking make it real sincere or anything. It's just, it's common courtesy. People who don't, that's the one thing we really need to, I think, readjust about our society. We really need to have more people saying, please, thank you, and I'm sorry, in general. That would help if there were just, like, honest to goodness, like, you could be written a ticket for not saying please or thank you or I'm sorry. That would be a tremendous improvement on the life that we live. I also think, and maybe this is just specific to New York City, but there's sometimes you go to different places, like if you go to, I guess Planned Parenthood is the best example, where they'll just have like condoms in a bowl and you can just take condoms. They're free for anybody to have. That's a good service. That's a good public service. But I think that along with that, at least in this city, we need to have deodorant where you can just grab it if you need it. Just like little travel-sized deodorants. And mints and gum. That should be available. Just gum, mints, deodorant, condoms. Force people to say please, thank you, and I'm sorry. That would help a lot. And if you're clipping your toenails in public, you should be beaten within an inch of your life. I think that that's fair. I think there's a few things that, and these are good examples of why I'm not in charge, because a lot of people, it's a good thing I'm not in charge. A lot of people would be really hurt and probably killed. But you, like if there's a car alarm going off and it goes off for more than an hour, I think it should be completely legal for the public to destroy that car. Like, no harm, no foul. If you just want to, like, pop the tires, break the windows, do whatever you want, that's fine. It's been going off for an hour. Like, as soon as a car alarm starts, we should all start our timers and be like, if that keeps going, and it doesn't count if it just turns off for a second and then recycles, that means if it has been going for more than an hour, that car's dead meat, and I don't give a shit what the owner has to say about it. That could all be on camera. It ought to be on camera. But yeah, if you're clipping your toenails or fingernails in public, you should be able to be beaten. And cops should just hold people back from interfering in that beating. Because this is, here's the crazy thing about doing that, right? Because I see this on the subway every now and then. I don't know why it's always an Asian guy. I don't know why. But it happens to be. And I've seen it multiple times. I don't mean to say this is something that all Asians do, but I've only seen Asian guys do this. I don't know what that's about, but might just be a weird coincidence. Maybe they're all from the same inconsiderate family. But there's something strange about the idea of clipping your toenails in public that resonates with me in this bizarre way where it's like, how are you not in jail? Not because of that, but how have you gotten to this place in life where you're that oblivious to other people around you and of being considerate to other people around you? It doesn't matter to you that much that you would do that and not think that that is fucked up, right? Like, because the same person who would clip his toenails in public would also be like, I don't have any money. You have money. I'm going to stab you. Take your money. Now I have money. What do I care if I killed the guy? Now I have money now. That's the important part. I took his money, so now I have it. So now I can buy food. And I eat. And I don't... Why would I wipe my face? That's... I don't mind it. You mind it? I chew with my mouth open. I'm out of money again. Banks have money. I'll go in there, take money from that. It's just this... The logic doesn't make sense that you would still be roaming free in the world. And all I can think is that you run into people who are constantly like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to try to explain to this fucking monster why the shit that he's doing is bad. So they just kind of like ping pong you back and forth between situations and nobody teaches you anything. We need to start cleaning up these streets, guys. We do. Maybe Bernie will help? I don't know. I'm glad to see he's pulling ahead. And fuck you idiots for thinking that's a bad idea, because that's the thing that has to happen. I'm not saying he would be a better president than Elizabeth Warren or Buttigieg or however you say it or any of these other guys, but he is the only one who can beat Trump. And that's the thing that was supposed to have happened before. That's the thing that's got to happen now. And I was saying this to a girl the other night at the bar, and she was like, that's such a misogynistic thought to think that a woman... that you wouldn't vote for a woman because she couldn't win against Donald Trump. It's like, it's not a misogynistic thought to understand misogyny. I'm not saying that that Elizabeth Warren would be a bad president. I think she'd be an excellent president. But the problem is that she, if she gets the nomination, then all of those guys who are misogynistic, and let's just pause for a second and be sure we're on the same page about what being misogynistic means. Does that mean hating women still? Or does that just mean disagreeing with women? Because I feel like that definition has become somewhat fluid. But the point is that even though I think she'd do a good job and you think she'd do a good job, all those fucking guys who don't want to be called sexist, even though they are, don't want to be called misogynistic, even though they might be, don't want to be called racist or homophobic or whatever, you activate all those people and they go and vote for Trump. So you got to have King Kong versus Godzilla. That was what was supposed to fucking happen last time. That's what's got to happen this time. People want the crazy guy versus the crazy guy. So if you don't vote for Bernie Sanders and you don't think that that's worth it, then you don't understand how important it is to get Trump out of office. And if you're just tuning into this show and you thought that I was some kind of like neutral political person, no. I would love to have a Republican candidate that I could vote for someday. I'm not, like, I don't just pick Democrat or whatever. I've never had one that I felt like I could vote for. That's just me. I think Donald Trump is an embarrassment, a complete embarrassment to everything that we stand for as a country and as a people, and he's the worst of us. I don't think he's the cause of all the problems that are existing in the world today. I think he's more of a hood ornament on the car of us being fucked up as a people. But, yeah. That's going to be a weird way to end this podcast, but I got to go. So, hey, listen, if you're a Trump supporter, make me understand it. That's your open invitation to make me understand why I shouldn't think that that fucking lunatic is a fucking lunatic. And that's a smart person to be in charge of a nuclear arsenal that the world has never seen before. Give me a good argument. That's your homework for this week. All right? This is Scientology. My name's Paul Odo. If you want to help out and you want to support the podcast, you can go to my website, paulodo.com, scroll down to the middle of the page. There is a Patreon that you can join. I would love to have that. There's going to be a new feature for the Patreon members, actually. I just decided this right now, as a matter of fact. I have my show, Elsa, on a password-protected Vimeo page or whatever, and you can watch the entire thing, and I am going to be doing that throughout the duration of me working on this show. I'm going to keep putting those things on password-protected video pages so that I can send them to my management and also to people that I trust for notes. And if you are one of the members of the Scientology Patreon page, if you are a patron, donating $5 or $10 a month, we'll even make it a five. Any amount of money. $5 a month is fine. That's a good amount of money to ask for people, whatever. You will then have access to every single one of my private work-in-progress shows that I'm filming. And I would love to hear your thoughts on them, because I really do need notes on it. It's a developing thing, and it's important for me to get feedback. And I trust the people who listen to the podcast. I trust your opinions, and I want to listen to what you have to say about it. So that's going to be a new feature for Patreon members. Access to the development of the Elsa show. You'll be able to watch the entire thing. And this last one was really good. I'm really proud of it. It came together well. So yeah, if you want to donate to the podcast, you'll now get that as an added benefit of my unlisted videos for Patreon members. And yeah, please leave a review on Apple iTunes. That helps a lot. Review the podcast, leave a positive review, let other people know, spread the word about the podcast, tell your friends, tell your family. Please, if you're going to be in Los Angeles next month, March 13th, come out to the show. Lyric Hyperion, Friday, March 13th, 7 o'clock in the afternoon. Elsa. And yeah, this has been Scientology, episode 52, guys. I'm not going to miss next week. I'll be here for you. And send me videos, send me questions, send me criticism, anything, pictures of your tits, if you feel like it, you know, I'm not gonna show them to people, or you don't need to. Hell, if you want me to see your dick, go ahead. I'm an equal opportunity guy here. This has been the podcast, guys. Episode 52, Scientology. I hope that you're well. Be good to yourselves. Let me know what you're working on. Stay in touch. Let's keep working together. And do not be afraid out there, guys.